T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
That's the best you guys can do, and you call yourself professionals? Your show really is starting to suck.
Howard Simon.
I am the cream, yeah, the cream of the crop. And there is no one that does it better than
Jeremy White.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Care to expand on that?
I just woke up feeling real dangerous.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
A couple wrestling references in there. King Kong Bundy passed away earlier this week. Would have been yesterday or Monday. His real name? Christopher Pallies. From parts unknown. No, from Atlantic City.
Parts unknown is much better, though.
Some city should change its name to parts unknown.
Yeah.
So that everyone could say, I'm from parts unknown.
I think you are a much more interesting person if you're from parts unknown.
Yeah.
And it's great for wrestling.
He appeared on Married with Children. He played Uncle Irwin, the brother of Peg Bundy.
Really?
Yeah.
I was not a regular viewer of the program, so I mean, obviously there are episodes I didn't see. I never saw
him. He appeared in 1996 on an episode of Weird Science as himself. Appeared on Boy Meets World. He's on a cover of a Belgian band's album. He tried a career in stand-up comedy.
King Kong Bundy? Really?
Yeah.
I wonder how that went. You should be watching wrestling, man. It's in a WWE is in a nice little stretcher. They've had a couple of really good back-to-back shows on Raw. Really enjoying what I'm seeing lately. Roman Reigns is back, trying to get the Shield together. You got Becky Lynch getting arrested and going after Ronda Rousey. There's some really great stuff going on. They're in a good mood right now.
I'm loving what they're doing right now. I'm glad to hear it.
When you start yelling at the television, you know they're doing something right.
Yeah.
When they get that emotion out of you. And I'm telling you, the last 2 weeks, they have been fantastic. Let's do trivia so I don't forget.
All right, instant trivia. I'm excited.
So let me give you the genesis of this, okay? Yesterday, I don't know why, maybe because I'm just nuts. I started thinking about, I was depressed after all of our Sabres discussions. And I was trying to think, okay, these last 2 years, what has happened and all that stuff. And I went back and looked at the points totals, blah, 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 and the third fewest points in the league. And I started thinking about, well, how many guys are still here from the Bylsma teams? And the first two Housley teams are worse than the two Bylsma teams. It's a long way of getting to this. Fellas, we're going to go back and we're going to name guys that are no longer here. Not everybody. I'll tell you the rundown. From those two Dan Bylsma teams.
Okay.
Which, by the way, ended up with 159 points over 2 years. The current Sabres team in these last 2 years with Phil Housley has 130. At least 50 games. So we're talking 9 forwards, 5 defensemen. Forget about goalies. 9 forwards, 5 defensemen. We're here then, not here now. So don't guess like Nicholas Baptiste or Hudson Fashing, okay?
All right, I'll start off. I'll go with Nick Delorier.
Nick Delorier is indeed on this list. I didn't even get a chance to give you my clue on Nick Delorier.
One more. What are we doing here?
The guys that were here for Bylsma, no longer here. But at least 50 games.
50
guys
games.
Of note, not, guys who were here for 5 games.
Okay. Ryan O'Reilly
nine forwards,
and Evander
five defensemen.
Kane.
Correct. There's two or more of your forwards.
Cody Franzen.
Hey, very good. I thought some of you guys would forget about poor Cody Franzen. Very nice.
Mark Pesek.
And actually, this guy didn't play 50 games, but I wanted to put him in because he was a regular when he was playing.
Braden McNabb?
Nope. But think of Pesek. Who went in the Pesek trade? Who came?
Kulikov.
Kulikov played 47 games. Because he was injured all the time, but I wanted to get him into the conversation. So two more defensemen and 6 more forwards, gentlemen.
Marcus Foligno.
That is one of the forwards.
Tyler Ennis, you can add in there.
Right, went in the trade with Minnesota. Very good. So you got 4 more forwards and 2 D. Now one defenseman was a depth guy. The other one was fairly regular.
I'm not guessing this. I'm just saying it.
Yeah.
Rob Niedermeyer's name. I just wanted to say
his name. I
don't
have him on my list.
Did you already say Tyler Myers? He was traded.
He was traded.
Before.
He was already, yeah.
He was gone.
Yep. This guy, one of the defensemen, actually was one of the,
Zadorov?
Was one of the first guys Murray acquired in that first summer. He was a July 1 acquisition, a trade.
Josh Georges.
Josh Georges is indeed correct. The other defenseman was a depth defenseman. He signed July 1st, 2016.
Alex Sulzer.
No, but I love bringing in Alexander Sulzer. No, he would have been new guy. This guy played 98 games over 2 years, played in Minnesota, played in Columbus, played with the Rangers.
Craig Rive.
No. Justin
Falk.
Falk was the other defenseman. Okay, so you're missing four more forwards.
Oh, wow.
Played for Bielsma.
This is going to be a game of me trying to name obscure forwards.
Now, two of them are not obscure. Two of them you will remember. You must remember.
Matt Molson?
That's one of the two. Who wore the C?
Marcus Foligno?
He already got
Foligno. Brian Gionta.
Those are the two you should get. The other two, you're going to need clues. You ready?
Brian Flynn.
No, but I think he would have played. He was traded, I think, in March.
Matt
maybe,
Ellis.
Right? No. This clue will give it away.
John Scott.
Nope. This guy came in the O'Reilly trade.
Oh, Jamie McGinn.
You liked Jamie McGinn, too.
I wanted them to keep Jamie McGinn.
Right.
That would have been a nice idea.
The last forward.
He ended up costing $3 million a year.
The last forward was in a trade Murray made, and this was, hey, would you take this contract off our hands, please?
David Leguan.
All right,
Leguan.
Keep there the trivia go. Music rolling. Here's a fun game. In the Reinhardt year where the Sabres finished in last place, who led them in points, and how many was it?
Oh, my Lord.
So that would be the 2013-14
season? Who led the Sabres in points, and how many points did they have?
Oh, Tyler Ennis.
Tyler Ennis was second in points.
Who would have led Cody him? Hodgson.
Correct.
Oh, my gosh.
How many points led the team?
48.
Oh, God.
Cody Hodgson.
I want to say like something like 62.
You're both too high.
Oh, boy.
Too high, really?
48 is too high.
Too high?
Uh-huh.
This is the Price of Right game where you go, really? Too high?
He played 72 games. He had 44 points.
Wow. My original thought on that was Ville Leino, but...
Yeah, Leino...
Good times.
Leino played on that team. He had 0 goals.
Yep.
And 15 assists. By the way, anytime anybody says to you anything about the idea of tanking, they should have to get that roster tattooed on their leg. Hodgson, Ennis, Stafford... Erhoff.
Wait. Just the defenseman is my. I think
the defense isn't actually that bad.
No, but there were some guys.
Erhoff and Myers. Here? Jamie McBain is here. Mike Weber is here on that team. Talinder is still on that team. Pezzik.
Andre Mazaros, right? Wasn't he on the tank team?
No, he was on the next team.
He was on the
defensive
next
group.
Team.
Was way
that's what I'm
worse.
Thinking of. I'm thinking of the 14-15
right.
team, the Eichel year.
13-14 team is right behind you, Howard.
Right. The 13-14 team was it's about to be bad. It's about to be pretty nasty.
Jamie McBain, yeah. Hey, Matt D'Agostini was here.
Yeah.
Yes,
you,
he was.
Did you mention him?
The lockout season, the 2012-13 season.
Alexander Sulzer.
Vanek was here and had 41 points, and mm-hmm. that led the team. Nearly a point a game. Oh, no, more than a point a game. 41 points in 38 games.
It was a lockout season, yeah.
Hodgson had 42.
44.
In a full season,
the team lead in points was 44. Jack Eichel has more assists than that.
God, I'm so happy that team is just...
Let's take a step back in time.
Let's take a step back and remember, like, yeah. Let's get that team we had before all this.
Get the band back together.
Now at least we can say, hey, there are good players, you dupes. Why are you not good?
Right. Eichel's over a point a game, right? I haven't looked at his stats lately.
He'll finish over a point a game.
You know, you hopefully will have, knock on wood, the first 40-goal scorer since Vanek was here.
I got an NHL playoff format for you. Let's just throw this at you.
It's funny. A lot of people, I mean, Brayton did our Twitter poll, and more people are bringing up the 3-2-1 point system to change, but the Twitter notifications, people are angry.
Well, you know who hates
about
the playoff format? The players hate it.
Yeah.
It's dumb.
It is dumb. Well, it's
really dumb.
It's where the league used to be 30 years ago, but I just thought after a while it got really. I just don't need the division format. Here's an idea for you,
all right? You want to have wild cards, you just want to have divisions. Here's what you do.
I'm okay with wild cards.
Okay.
I like wild cards.
Let's go with 4 division winners. 4 second place, 4 third place, 4 fourth place. And have a show on Sunday night when the season ends and draw.
Hold on a second. So
you would draw a winner plays a wild card. a two plays a three, and you just draw it.
Hmm.
And you have, you know, you never know who's going to be your one, your two, your three, or your four. So, in theory, what you could do for this with the NHL standings right now
is... Sounds like an NCAA selection.
It is. It's exactly that, except it's a draw. What it is it's the Champions League. They pick, like, top level, second, third, fourth.
Yeah.
It's the World Cup. It's a draw. They decide, all right, we're going to split up the strength here. We'll have a group of death where we think we have the top one, the top two, the top three, and the top... But, hey, that happens. In that case, it's a draw. The problem is that the NHL designs in the flaw. Sometimes a drawing will give you, oh, wow, that group looks a little tough. Okay.
Yeah, World Cup comes out like that,
sure.
Right? Doesn't it?
Luck of the draw. So in this scenario, you could have, in one quadrant, Islanders. They're the division winner right now. They're the leader. The Islanders, the Bruins, the Dallas Stars, and Las Vegas. And there's your quadrant. Boom. Mm-hmm. You guys are there. It's a random draw. In the other one, I've got Calgary and St. Louis and Toronto. No, there are three. Boston and Montreal. And you would mix conferences. You would mix divisions. The idea that they're so married to their divisions, it's just awful. Especially because the Atlantic, the division the Sabres are in, has a chance to have four teams finish ahead of every team in the Metro. Three of them probably will.
Well, if you look at, correct me if I have this wrong. I know in the East, for example, if you look, I've got the league standings now, okay? So 1 through 30, what the heck is it, 32? 1 through 31, sorry. There's no way, so Tampa's 1, Toronto's 4, Boston's 3, Toronto's 4. So there's no way you could have a conference final with the two best teams in the East. In fact, one of those top four teams is getting bounced in the first round of the playoffs. Boston or Toronto right now are going to meet in round one at this point. So one of the top four teams in the league is now going to be out of your playoffs after the very first round. How is that smart?
It doesn't
it's
make
not.
Any
it
sense.
Doesn't make any sense. And you could look at it and go, those are the top three teams in the East, Tampa, Boston, Toronto. It's, well, yeah, one of them, there's no way that,
well,
you wouldn't necessarily have the conference final of the two best teams. But the first round thing of 3-4 meeting in the first round, who does that?
Brayton, could you see if Brian Mazurowski in the studio out here is available to come in and talk to us for a minute?
It. He's a loser.
He's out in the room here. He's one that actually favors this system, and he needs to be called. He needs to be called to the carpet. Get him in here. Boo this man. He's walking by. Striding in here.
He's a Penguins fan. That's why.
He's, Mr. Mazurowski, if you will.
You know it's a good take when literally everybody disagrees with
you. Yeah, right. So, yes or no questions, if I could, sir. I don't need anything other than
what is
that.
Is this witness stand?
Yeah. It's a deposition. Yes or no questions. You are a Pittsburgh Penguins fan.
Yeah.
The Pittsburgh Penguins currently stand in a spot to really benefit from the playoff format.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, yes. Thank you. No further questions. Thanks for coming by.
We have a parting gift for you, Brian. Don't worry about it.
They could, I guess, where would they be under, they'd play Boston,
they would play
right?
Boston in the Boston first round right now.
And the difference between the Boston and the Islanders is 6 points.
6 points.
Yeah. So, but the second wild card, or I'm sure I should say the first wild card.
That's if there's no division winner automatically getting a top two seed. That's just 1 through 8.
Think of the difference here between the first wild card and the second wild card. First wild card in gets the Islanders or the Capitals, whoever wins that division. Second wild card gets Tampa.
Ooh,
and that's I mean, you know, you could still lose to the Islanders. They are a good team. They're the number one defensive team in hockey. So
I would prefer it if they got Tampa in the first round.
You would?
That would be exciting. That would be awesome.
Hmm.
Penguins Lightning in the first round?
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't be in for every game of that?
I definitely would. But that's not a rivalry.
It's not a rivalry.
Right.
If I would kill the wild card completely, I would go straight division.
Go back 1 through 8.
No, 1 through 4 in each division.
Okay.
That's the way it used to be. That's the way it was in the 80s. Yeah, we had the Adams and the Patrick.
No wild card.
Correct.
The first two rounds would be strictly division.
Right.
And then the two winners of the respective divisions play in the conference
now,
final.
Now, if you did that this year in the East, it would not be a problem. You'd basically have Columbus and top four, Columbus and Pittsburgh fighting for the final spot, and the Atlantic would be locked up. Montreal's already in.
Yeah, right.
So you wouldn't have a problem where a team is left on the outside. The only time this happens is when, you know, if Columbus ends up finishing with more points than Montreal and they get left out.
I just, I, I, I understand people's, you know, they don't like when a team gets left out. You know, oh, this team had more points than that team, yet they're on the outside looking in, which can happen if there wasn't a wild card. That's kind of why they put the wild card there. I'm just in a, you know, because it is sports and at the end of the day, you know, whatever. What? Okay, you get left out. You should have been better. Should have won, you know, two more games at the end of the year. I mean, how much fair is
but,
it really
it's not
then?
A completely balanced
under the
schedule.
Old format, you had, what was it, that one year, the Rangers and Flyers the went old, to a shootout at the end
yeah,
of the year,
the
and the winner of the
right.
shootout made it
right.
in.
And the Flyers
so
won.
So how is
yeah.
that any more
yeah.
fair?
Well, yeah. there are a lot of, the funny thing about the NHL is there have been, there are a lot of fair formats. They just find ways to not find them. You know, the old system used to be, hey, let's be the sixth seed because we're going to play the winner of the
yeah, Southeast
Division.
Exactly.
Right, like,
right.
So they always put together these formats, and 5 minutes after they announce them, people say, you know, there's a problem with this. And they can never just get it right, just the, 1 through 8 or even 1 through 16.
But the problem is, Brian, like we were saying, if you look at it now, okay, let's say I've got the leagues by the standings by conference, okay, so 1 through, what, 16 in the East. So right now, Boston and Toronto are going to play in the first round at this point.
Sweet.
They're 2-3 in the conference.
Well, quickly, if you could begin every statement
from
with,
your standpoint.
If you could say before everything, as a Penguins fan,
yeah,
I find sweet. That sweet.
But they're also they're two of the top five teams in the league standings right now. One of them has gone after the first round. Guaranteed.
Yeah. Well,
how that, is that good for the league?
That loser should have been better. They should have. What did Phil Housley say on here yesterday? Should have checked harder.
Harder.
They've got two of the best 5 point totals in the league, but they just happen to be in the same division, and they're going to go bounce each. One of them's bounced in the first round. Pittsburgh.
That
if you went 1 through 8,
life isn't fair.
Pittsburgh would play Boston. Now that's not a division rival.
Pittsburgh,
but that's a great
what's
first round series.
What's been the argument against this each of the last 3 years? It's that oh man, Pittsburgh and Washington have to play each other in the second round, and I've loved it.
But they might still
because
meet.
You got that but once the, in the last forever before that.
True or false? You loved it because you thought they would beat the Capitals.
That is false. I loved it because I love.
He loved
you know,
it
if
until
it's a
last
playoff
season.
Series. I love you know just swearing at TJ Oshie or you know doing stuff like that, and I love knowing that you know next year we'll get him. You know next year we'll get him back. If you're Washington, how sweet did that feel last year? I mean, would your
sure,
you,
sure.
You would have won the cup. It would have been awesome. You would have beat Vegas for the cup. Yeah, that would be awesome. You beat Pittsburgh
along the way. It's like
that
when the Yankees beat the Red Sox along the way. But at the same time, you know, I don't know who the Sabres have to beat along the way. I'll be happy if they beat anybody.
For me,
at this point, yeah. I mean, at this point, this format's going to be gone. The Sabres are never going to see it.
There's like two more years left in the format, right?
Yeah.
I think it goes up.
Well, that's
it
why
a 5-year run or
that's
seven?
Why it's been
it goes
very,
up at the CBA, I think.
Yeah, it's been very important for us to express how much we hate it before the Sabres get in, so when we cry about it, if they ever make it,
yeah.
we
somehow
can say, like,
they'll get
hey,
screwed.
Hey, we got years of crying about this thing.
Somehow the format will change and it'll screw the Sabres.
I love the rivalry that's guaranteed.
But that's for me, I guess I don't need, for me, the playoffs, I don't need a rivalry to build up the playoffs is what it really gets down. You give me a playoff series. I know you pointed out like Pittsburgh, Carolina is not maybe the sexiest series, but it's still a playoff series. I don't need something to, it doesn't have to be Penguins Flyers in the playoffs.
That is true. You can go back to 2006 and you can see, okay, wow, you got Sabres and Flyers in the first round. That
was
amazing.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Ruff and Hitchcock going back and forth. And then they got Ottawa in the second round and that was incredible too. And you're going to get great matchups like that if you go back to the old format. I just like that you're guaranteed a couple of those under the new one.
I think this might also be, and I'm not like kidding or poking fun at you here, you make the playoffs so often and have so many rounds as a Penguins fan that you've got to find a little more juice in the playoffs. Meanwhile, for the Sabres,
I'll play
Seattle in the next round. I don't even care. Just get us there. I don't care if it's an ECHL team.
Now the Belleville Bulls.
There
available.
Definitely is something to that. There is something to that for sure.
Sure.
But and again, you know,
you're like the Patriots saying that we don't get any respect. Nobody. Seriously, you have to build it up a little bit.
That's how I felt. I'm telling you, like so, Brian, when this was around in the '80s, okay, and part of the time I was here, I was going to Buff State. You just got the Sabres were usually in the playoffs. And you got tired of, okay, it's Hartford again this year. Oh, now it's Quebec again. Or it's only going to be Hartford, Quebec, Boston, or Montreal. And you're like, can we play somebody else in the first round? Can it be
another team
in the East?
I can see that after a lot of years getting sick.
Just get tired of the same teams that you also played, I don't know, 9 times in the regular season. I mean, sure, Sabres-Toronto playoff series would be magnificent.
I see. But I feel the opposite of that way. And I go back to, in a perfect world, I would, go back to the old playoff format and go back to the old schedule they had right after the lockout where the Sabres, you look in the last month of the season, they played nothing but inside their division. And they played every divisional team, all the other four teams, eight times throughout the course of the year.
Yeah.
You hated those teams by the end of it.
Yep. Yeah.
And then, you know, if you meet one in the playoffs, man, watch out.
Right.
I would be fine with that.
That's
true. I'm just for playing other teams or playing certain teams more often. You build bad blood that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's good for the game.
I think that's respectable. Being a Penguins fan, on the other hand.
Yeah. See, that's part of this. You really have to take yourself out of this discussion because you're in the playoffs every year. You're probably just bored of the, you know, we're in again. Who are they playing this year? All right, call me in the conference finals.
I do think there is something to that, but there also is, it would be the board again thing in, all right, second round again, but no, it's second round. It's Capitals. Caps,
right, I know.
It's,
right.
It's you get to play this team, you're always up for it.
Right.
Maybe
right.
It would be, you know, the Flyers in a different year. Maybe it's the Flyers in the first round some years. You know, you're up for it because it's that team that you hate.
Yeah. What if they did this? Keep the schedules the way they are, and every year draw new divisions. Who's in the division this year? Pittsburgh, Columbus, Toronto, Boston, Florida.
You would have to, in order to get me on board for that, you'd have to really change the way the whole thing works because you'd need different players on every team every year.
What do you mean?
Because if you're not caring about who you play.
I don't mean the playoffs. I mean in the regulars. For a season, you would balance out the Eastern.
In theory, you're not stuck in a really crazy division.
Right,
and
for the Sabres this year, and for the foreseeable future, you are stuck, finger quotes, and that's, you know, they can be good. But Toronto, Boston, and Tampa are in the same division for a while here.
It's the Bills' discussion with Brady. You didn't want to be stuck with the same division because you basically weren't winning the first
And I don't say that just from a standpoint of the loser, but, you know, a little bit like the World Cup or other tournaments like the Champions League that draw, the divisions are arbitrary. They change them every 3 years. You could change them every year and just do whatever you want.
But
you,
they would never do it because then you're going to go away from divisional rivalries.
They would never do anything.
There would no, you know, you'd be getting
But the rivalries
rid of,
would carry over. Well, Toronto and Buffalo have been in the same division for 5 years. And then next year, oh, there's. Listen, I mean, I get it. Rivalries, whatever. They are what they are.
I get up early, so I don't want them playing at 8:30 in Chicago.
True.
All the time.
Well, I mean,
that would be the only thing. You could just make it just conference, have the West, have the East, throw up all the teams,
yeah,
go
East, West,
one through eight, and no divisions at all any year.
Completely okay with that.
Sure, that's okay. But if you're going to have divisions, I think you want to make them matter. And if you're going to try at all the playoff rivalries, really try at it and make it matter.
All right.
I knew there was a reason why millennials were ruining the world. You are obviously a prime example of it.
Are you
a millennial?
I think
so. Are you outside the millennial group?
I don't know. I get confused, man. I don't know. I think I'm a millennial.
You and I will have to talk about Roman.
I am not a millennial.
Yeah, you're too old.
I'm just outside of it.
You're too old?
I just missed it.
I thought you were far outside millennial.
No, I'm like 2 years. Maybe 2 years.
I'm not the millennial that everyone complains about, though. Everyone complains about the new millennials.
Yeah. No, you got a lot to.
We're like
a lot
the OG
wrong
millennials.
There's a lot wrong with you.
We're cool.
Plenty wrong with you, actually, to complain about.
Yeah, I know.
Thanks for coming in and playing around with us. Please appreciate it.
No problem.
All right. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. We'll get a break in. You can share your thoughts on this discussion if you'd like. Hey, it's Wednesday. Friendly reminder. I want to see if you can, we'll see if you can win a certificate to Jim's Steakout. $25 worth. It is Hoagie Hump Day. So today, tweet us at WGR550. Make sure you use the hashtag Hoagie Hump Day. That's all you got to do. And you're in the running for the $25 gift certificate. Again, tweet at WGR550. When you tweet us, use the hashtag Hoagie Hump Day. One lucky listener will win a $25 gift certificate to Jim's Steakout.
DK Metcalf with 1.6% body fat. That's just ludicrous. Like, that's insane, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's not going to play at that. He's not going to play at 1.6 because you actually need to be a little heavier. You need to have a higher fat content to prevent injury. So he was training for these results. And then, you know, it just shows dedication and real commitment to what is being asked of them. So I think that's kind of how it comes across.
Hey, if they need someone with a bigger fat content than 1.6, hello!
I was just going to say something like, you want some help on how to put some on?
Gotcha. I might be 16.0. I probably even worse than that.
I like beer and tacos quite a bit.
What is an in-shape person, body fat, your average in-shape person?
Average?
What is it? I don't even know. Whatever it is, double it and you'll find me.
In good shape?
Yeah,
not
an athlete.
Here's where I say a number and people are going to be like,
that's right. I didn't know if you knew. I have no concept. Not an athlete.
Like not a professional athlete?
Right. Like not a Bills player. Just someone who, you know, works out.
Okay.
Runs.
Average, according to Wikipedia, for a man is 18 to 24%.
Oh my Lord.
If you're fit, you're 14 to 17. Athletes, 6 to 13. And you're supposed to have way more than 1.6.
Is there a Beaufort scale for this? Like if I'm at 40%, how bad off? Like does it say I should be dead? Is there a scale that says you are about to drop dead? Based on your body.
There was one more row, and that is obese, and that is for men.
There you go.
25% or more.
There you go. I am in that category. At least it doesn't say you will drop dead tomorrow. 803-0550 to join us. Let us talk. You know, speaking of no body fat.
I mean, look at the bright side. There's a lot of things that could kill you.
Thanks.
There's a lot.
Like this job. DK Metcalf was the big story at the combine. He is chiseled, and he ran a 4.33 40. Maybe you're seeing some more mock drafts with Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft today. Todd McShay's mock draft today. They both have the Bills taking DK Metcalf. So we thought, let's find out a little bit more about DK Metcalf. We're on the Western Hotline right now with Nathaniel Gambler. He is Ole Miss football beat writer for the Oxford Eagle. You can follow him on Twitter at NGambler and the number 4. And he's joining us right now. Nathaniel, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Thanks for coming on with us, first of all.
Of course. Thank you, guys. Always excited to talk a little football, even in cold March weather.
Well, my knowledge of DK Metcalf is a set of clips on YouTube that my partner retweeted one day, so I need some education here. What are the just tell me, I guess, big picture, what are the strengths of DK Metcalf's game as a wide receiver?
I mean, I think you guys saw a lot of his strengths on Saturday in Indianapolis. Guys that are that big don't usually move the way DK does. He's a freak athlete. He has great acceleration off the line of scrimmage, hands of the line of scrimmage. The one thing, we saw the 4.33 40, but he had the second largest wingspan in the history of the combine, so that catch radius that comes along with that is pretty outstanding.
I guess the one, if there is a question, well, there was the injury question, which I'll get to in a second, but so he can beat guys, he can go downfield. From what I saw, it looked like he was a really big red zone target. Can he run routes? Can he run short routes? Can he run intermediate routes? Is he an all-around receiver, Nathaniel, or does he still have some limitations to that part of his game?
Yeah, I mean, with DK, you're drafting on a lot of potential he wasn't unproductive at Ole Miss, but he's not the most productive college wide receiver on his own team. That was A.J. Brown. He can do all of those things, but it wasn't necessarily something that was asked of him. This was a weird offense under the old offensive coordinator, Phil Longo, with a pretty limited route tree.
Yeah, it's funny. We had a draft guest on the other day, and he said exactly that it's not – when you talk about DK Metcalf, you know, because he had a bad, shuttle drill, cone drill time, whatever.
Yeah.
And people were worried, is that a bad indication? And the guest said, well, in the offense at Ole Miss – they didn't ask him to do all these things. It doesn't mean he can't do it. It wasn't his role in the offense out there.
Yeah, it was a weird – it's like all the routes under that offense were kind of run on a vertical plane. So if you just run a straight line and everything that corresponds to that, so hitches, curls, comebacks, those sort of things. So there's not a lot of in-breaking routes for him on tape, but that wasn't necessarily his fault. It's just not what they asked him to do.
It looked like he was a really big red zone weapon. Was that something he did very well?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. It's actually kind of a weird thing. So he is incredible when he's fighting for you in the air with the football. That's something he's going to win, but he actually doesn't time his jumps great. Mm-hmm. Is a knock that from some of the people that I've been talking to that scouts have had. So yes and no. I mean, he caught 5 touchdowns this year, 7 last year. So yes, but it's something that he can still work on, especially at his size.
His physical shape too. When they tweeted out the picture of him the other day, you know, it looked like it was one of those things where you take like a superhero's body and you put your face on it. This guy just live in the weight room?
I mean, what do you think? You saw the pictures? No, it's insane. Like It's funny you guys were talking about body fat right before I came on. I think it was reported that he's like 1.6, 1.7%. From people I talked to, that's physically impossible.
It like sounds you need low, like, yeah, right.
You need like 3% body fat to just survive and do basic human things. But, I mean, obviously, yeah, the guy's work ethic's never been a problem. He's going to be in the gym, and that's obviously the case. I mean, think of like a 5'11", 185-pound corner that's asked to press that guy in those pictures that you saw.
Right. Well, that's so that's why you know he should be able to win those battles. You so in the time that you covered his career, what about off the field? What about what kind of kid is he? Were there ever any questions or issues at all with behavior or any kind of red flags at all while he was out there?
Yeah, so I've actually only been here for about a year, but he's a local kid. Like he went to Oxford High School, went 8 miles down the road to play high school football at Ole Miss or college football at Ole Miss. He's the kind of kid that literally just like 2 or 3 days ago was at his high school doing like the morning announcements. Like that's not normal. It's one of those things that if there were off the field concerns, we never knew about them. And since he's from here and grew up around here, you'd think we'd probably know, right?
Yeah. We are talking about DK Metcalf, but you know, there are other guys actually. You know, the Bills need offensive linemen, and I want to ask you what you could tell us at all about Greg Little, because that's a guy I think that would be in the mix if the Bills were looking at maybe going offensive line in round one.
Greg Little, I actually found an interesting note about him just looking through stuff, writing about the combine yesterday. Obviously, his strength is just in a vertical pass set, shotgun, pass protection. He's really good at that, just being able to get to the point of attack and being able to push guys behind the quarterback is his strength. He didn't test well. He ran a 5.34, I think it was.
Okay.
And here, listen to this. Going through just Football Reference yesterday, there's 4 tackles drafted in the first round that ran a 5.3 or slower. None of them are still playing their team.
Yeah.
And this is in the past, this decade. Guys like Luke Jokel, Eric Flowers, it's not a pretty list.
Mm-hmm. So that could be an issue with him. The other guy I want to ask you about was A.J. Brown. Metcalf's getting all the ink, but how much should we know about A.J. Brown in terms of a receiving prospect in the NFL? What'd you like about him?
I mean, if we're talking A.J. Brown versus DK, as a college receiver, it wasn't really a debate. A.J. was always the main guy. He was the go-to. DK obviously gets hurt this year, so we can't – it's hard to just compare these numbers. But A.J. caught 85 passes this year, over 1,300 yards. The year before, when they were both healthy, so going back to 2017, A.J. Brown caught 75 balls, DK caught 39. A.J. Brown had 1,200 yards, DK had 640, and it was 11 touchdowns to 7 in favor of A.J. Brown. The dude's like, I think he's 6'1". He's that like bigger slot receiver mold, so think Larry Fitzgerald, the late part of his career, Adam Thielen. He's like everything. They're like inverse players. He's not the testing guy that DK is, but he runs incredible routes. He's great after the catch. So hard to bring him down the open field. It's an interesting 1-2 punch, and I honestly think there's a chance that they're the first two receivers off the board.
So he would have been, if there was a go-to guy in the offense, it would have been more AJ?
Without a doubt, yeah.
Okay. All right. Nathaniel Gabler joining us. Again, he covers Ole Miss football for the Oxford Eagle at NGabler4, the number 4, if you'd like to follow him on Twitter. Nathaniel, thanks for giving us a little more information on DK Metcalf. We appreciate you coming on the show with us today.
Yeah, of course. Thank you, guys. Have a good morning.
Thank you. You too. On your body fat thing, so got a tweet from Christopher about this.
Yeah.
He said he tweeted that he thinks the 1.6 was incorrect. They corrected it to 6.1.
Gotcha.
They reversed
it. That makes a lot more sense.
He further tweeted that pro bodybuilders show up at competitions at 3-4% and are unhealthy. So, yeah, at one point, yeah. So even, but 6.1, by the way, is still, you know, very good. But I'm pretty confident I would be in the 25% plus portion of the Todd McShay's new mock draft is out today. DK Metcalf.
How many days until this draft, by the way?
Oh, you still got a ways to go. It's April 25th. What's today? 50 days. So 7 weeks from tomorrow.
50 days.
7 glorious weeks from tomorrow. Todd McShay has the Bills taking DK Metcalf at 9 overall. He writes, he's an absolute monster at 6'3". Ridiculous strength. 4-3-3-40. Metcalf specializes in running the nine route. Josh Allen has the big arm to get him the ball, which is true. It's been a while since Buffalo had a real receiving talent like Metcalf.
How about that catch radius comment?
Yeah,
this ends up going
big
back.
Arms, long arms,
I mean, I don't feel the way about DK Metcalf that I did about Mike Evans, but you know, we were 1 year into EJ Manuel and we thought, get a receiver. I did not want Sammy Watkins, but the guy that I wanted a lot was Mike Evans. And I wanted Evans because he was the garbage truck.
Catch
he,
radius. You throw him the ball, he's
it was
right.
It was a catch radius. And
open when he's not open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kelvin Benjamin was supposed to be that kind of receiver, definitely was not. So in that way I'd say Metcalf makes sense. You know, I see some guys that I trust that don't really like him as a player, that think that maybe the shuttle stuff and all that is problematic. But catch radius. If I've got a quarterback that can at times be scattershot, you know, the way to make that look better is to have a guy that can catch it anywhere.
Yeah, if it's not a perfectly thrown ball, it's still going down as a reception. So I'm on board with the skill player. You know, I'm looking at McShay's mock, the way he had it falling. Jonah Williams is still on the board, offensive tackle at Alabama, and there are a lot of people, depending on who you listen to and whose mock draft you read, there are a number of people who will tell you that Jonah Williams is the best offensive tackle in the draft. I feel like if that happened, the Bills would take the offensive tackle over the wide receiver at that spot in the draft. I'm trying to think who else. The kid from the tight end from Iowa, I'd even consider taking him at 9. You know, again, that's a guy who, TJ Hockenson, who can catch the ball, but he's a good inline blocker as well. Now, maybe things change if the Bills sign Dwayne Allen. He's a really good blocking tight end. You know, maybe they look for more of a guy who can be a receiver as far as tight end. But I'm good for skill position. I would like, whether it's Metcalf, great, Hockenson, great. I still believe that, you know, if the top or second best offensive tackle is there, they would go there. It's entirely possible. Again, just going on McShay's mock, going through it real quick. The second best defensive tackle should be on the board. And that could be Ed Oliver, depending on how their board falls. Quinnen Williams is probably gone. So you're looking at second best offensive tackle, second best defensive tackle. Two or three edge rushers may be gone. Number one wide receiver, number one tight end. I would still expect a big man, somebody up front that they would take at 9 unless he trades down.
How about all the fantasy implications for the Antonio Brown stuff? If you had him with the Steelers, he got targeted a ton.
Yeah, I wonder where would he go?
San Francisco and Indianapolis are good choices, but which team?
What if he goes to the Raiders?
I'd be worried about that. That's one thing I asked you earlier. What will the trade have to be for you to be mad? And the answer won't exactly. There's only one way that it would upset me, and that's if another team figured we can handle him with a young quarterback.
Okay,
like
if the Jets traded for him.
If the Jets decide we're not going to worry about that, we're going to get him the ball, and it works, then that's a scenario where you'd look at the Bills and say,
Why couldn't you do that?
Yeah. Like that's about the only scenario. If he goes to Indianapolis, I mean, they're going with Andrew Luck.
Mm-hmm.
If he goes to San Francisco, Garoppolo's not exactly a made man, but Kyle Shanahan has had a lot of success in this league. Like, you've got a little bit of cachet there.
The only younger guy, Mariota. I mean, he's
right.
If he goes to Tennessee, that's a name rumored out there that Tennessee wants him. That's a younger guy. That's tough for Mariota.
To me, that's a gamble.
Yeah.
You know, if he goes to a team that has an established quarterback, like, not quite like Roethlisberger, but something like that, that's a little bit different. If he goes to the Jets, all right, they decided it was worth it. And if it works for them, that is on you.
What if Washington trades for him and then they trade for Josh Rosen and they give Josh Rosen, that's another young quarterback. Though,
that's what I mean. If a team with a young quarterback does it that is not established, like Rosen had problems last year.
Right. If he went to the Saints, Antonio Brown's not calling out Drew Brees, probably.
He probably is. But in that case,
Drew Brees might not give a damn.
In that case, the Bills would be like, see, look what he's doing with Drew Brees.
Yeah. And Brees could handle
it. Yeah. So it's about who can handle it.
All right. We'll get Extendo Sports in a moment. Instigators coming up top of the hour on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
I forgot to mention when I was doing the Todd McShay draft, the mock draft, if you care about these things, he did have Kyler Murray going 1 to Arizona. Seems to be a lot of people are shifting in that direction around the National Football League. So Kyler Murray won in his mock draft, and DK Metcalf to the Bills at 9. Stat of the day before we head out here on this Wednesday.
I think I have
morning.
One of those for you, too.
Stat of the day on Kansas basketball. From the Department of, hey, Tom Brady owns the AFC East. Kansas basketball will not win the Big 12 regular season. Their streak ends at 14 straight years winning the Big 12 regular season basketball title. In those 14 years where they won, their winning percentage was 8-12, 207-48, 8-12. The second best winning percentage in the Big 12 to Kansas basketball in this 14-year run was Texas at 565. Not even close. That's how dominant the Jayhawks program has been in the Big 12. They were 63 more wins than the second winningest Big 12 program in the 14-year stretch that came to an end last night. Instigators are coming up in a moment.
I don't have a stat of the day.
That's okay.
Did you see the Game of Thrones trailer?
Did I see the
game? I know you're excited.
I'm beside myself.
I bet.
I can't wait to watch it. Instigators.
Who's going
to
sit on the throne?
Uh-huh. Yes, he will.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, all right.
Henry.
Henry's going to
Henry
do
the Eighth.
Henry.
Not doing good, huh? Sorry. Epic fail.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.